No matter how long this goes on, many of us will wake up each Saturday morning thinking about one more lost weekend of games, practices, meets, or tournaments. It stinks. Stinks for us, stinks for our kids, for our grandkids and our nieces and our nephews, or any of the other kids that we're fortunate enough to have in our lives. Each Saturday, I tweet out a link to this next podcast, an interview with Tom Ferry, the executive director of the Aspen Institute's Project Play, an organization that has worked hard to stem a different kind of national health crisis, the inactivity of our kids, which has only been exacerbated as they've all been stuck at home. I hope you'll take time to listen now, if you haven't already. I'm Bill King, joined now by Tom Ferry, Executive Director of the Aspen Institute Sports and Society Program, which has done exemplary work helping communities and parents address what has been a frightening decline in the number of kids getting off the couch and out the door. Tom, we'll get to the impact on all those people who've made a business out of youth sports a little later, but first, I'd like to talk about the kids. I'm one of those parents who will wake up tomorrow morning feeling really empty because I don't have a team to coach. My sons and I will have a catch, I hope. You know, we may go find an empty field and take some ground balls. But this normally would have been the day that we'd have our first practice as a team for the spring. And that's not going to happen. I hope the season's going to happen, but who knows? There are millions of parents across the country who tomorrow morning will wake up and not take their kids to play baseball or basketball or soccer or hockey or flag football or, well, anything else. What's the impact, you think, of that on all of us and, more importantly, on our kids, Tom?
I mean, look, sports are a treasured institution in this country, and not just because we watch them and see amazing things unfold on televisions and stadiums across the country, but it's the personal experience of, I mean, let's start with the kid, right? So when one of my greatest memories of as a kid was being that, you know, 11-year-old who was chasing that foul ball, you know, and making a decision of whether I'm going to, like, go for it and just stick out my glove, or I'm just going to let the thing fall, right? And like, I'm just grinding, and I just decide to go for it. And I reach, and what do you know? The thing ends up a snow cone at the end of my glove. And, you know, my teammates react. I learn something about myself. I mean, you know, these are the moments that make a childhood and make a person. And those are not happening, and they're not going to happen for a little while, certainly in organized settings. And that's extremely sad for kids, and that's a real miss. My hope, Bill, is that, and my actual absolute expectation is this absence is going to make us appreciate those moments and that experience that much more. So when sports does come back, I think it's going to come back in full force. I think people who, I mean, we're going to think about the impact of just kids being physically inactive and not connecting with their friends and not learning these lessons. And I think we're going to want it that much more for our children. And my hope, Bill, is that we want it for all children, not just those in our own home. But, you know, kids from lower income neighborhoods and, you know, maybe the kids who aren't the best athletes who get pushed aside from, you know, travel team tryouts and so forth, that we really come back and make room for all those kids, because sports is just it's an extraordinary experience, and we're being denied it. And let's bring it back in full force for everyone.
I want to give a quick referral to your website. It's aspenprojectplay.org, aspenprojectplay.org, which is always a great go-to for advice for parents when it comes to their kids and sports. You guys very quickly went up with a coronavirus and youth sports page that I'm looking at right now, in fact. And by the way, terribly saddened as I look at it, because the front page is this kid in his baseball uniform with his glove looking at his closed front door from behind it, not going outside. And I think that picture really, really says so much. You have some headlines on here, some things that you guys have taken a look at. I want to touch on a few of those. And the first question is that you have on here is the same one that I think a lot of us have had, you know, as parents. We talk to each other about it and talk to other parents about it. you know, should kids play youth sports during the outbreak?
Yeah. And, you know, that has been how we've answered that question, how we've edited that section of the website. And we are doing it every day. I've got John Solomon, our terrific editorial director, updating that site every day, collecting information, looking at the latest, you know, CDC and the state recommendations. So that section has changed from the moment we created the site on Friday. And right now, the answer is just simply no. Unfortunately, no. You can't. You know, there certainly organized sports. No, you know, no settings.
No Little League practice. You know, we got the email that Little League season is off, and oh, by the way, don't have any practices.
Yeah, no captains' practices. You know, none of these side things that coaches want kids to do. We just have to be a part. You know, and that's a huge challenge. The question is just like, what does a part really mean in certain settings? You know, I mean, if you're riding the bike in the neighborhood and your kid is, you know, 20 feet away, is that okay? You know, is running around the neighborhood and no one else around you, is that okay? If you're living in a state like mine in California, which was, you know, shut down last night and the governor says stay at home. And I think the answer probably is stay at home means stay at home, you know? So, but these are very difficult waters to traffic. But the bottom line is, you know, you organize youth sports just needs to cool it right now. There were some organizations that were playing through the weekend, the U.S. Sports Specialty Association.
U-triple-S-A.
Yeah. Just, you know, travel team providers out there. You know, their advice last Friday was, well, the games and the tournaments are continued, just don't shake hands, you know? And I was like, well, okay, let me get this right. So, you know, get rid of the sportsmanship and we're all good? I mean, you know, no, you know? And so finally on Tuesday, I tried to shame on Twitter, like, come on, guys, shut the dang thing down. And finally on Tuesday, they announced that on Wednesday at 5 p.m., they're gonna, you know, no more play, and we'll reevaluate in a week.
In a week. I think it's going to be more than a week.
Try 8 weeks, you know, so.
So how do you keep kids active? This is another one you touched on there. How do you keep kids active with school closed and organized activities shut down? Many of us spent this week at home with our kids, and as a society, we've become dependent on signing our kids up for something and taking them there, right? Like, okay, here, I got the email, I clicked on it, I put in my credit card, now where do I take them? That's what we think play is now. It's schedules, it's lessons, it's play dates. So where does that leave us at a time like this?
Yeah, well, you know, this is kind of interesting, Bill. This is where I'm kind of optimistic, or I'm glass half full, or I think this is a real opportunity. What we're seeing is the reemergence of free play. I mean, it's extraordinary. Now, in certain settings, if you're locked in your house, I mean, you can't. There's only so much you can do inside, but you can still do a few things. But if you've got access to your backyard, or you've got, you know, whatever, a cul-de-sac or something where you can go out and play. I mean, I've seen, you know, so like kids out at our local park making up games themselves. Like it was like the 1970s again, Bill. It was you and me is what we did back then. Right. But these kids are doing it.
Cut the ball field in half and hit balls and, you know, and run the bases and everything on the right side is foul.
Right, exactly. And that's what I saw just 2 days ago. I've seen, you know, family activity where parents will be in the park where they'll, you know, put a couple backpacks down and they'll be playing soccer with their kids. I mean, these are all really positive developments. And if we're going to, you know, I mean, my hope is that we come out of this and we learn some free play. We remind ourselves how great it is, free play is, and family activities are. And then when we come out of this, you know, those features are built into, you know, into the youth sport model moving forward, that it's not just all organized play all the time, you know, that is adult directed. There's a lot of innovations too, Bill. I mean, you know, training at home, virtual training where coaches are leading online sessions, and that's, we're seeing a huge ramp up in that. We're seeing, you know, my son Kellen's, you know, club coaches sent, you know, workout routines that they could do on their own, you know, fitness type stuff, which is good. You know, and this break here is also giving kids arms and knees and their bodies and their minds a break a little bit too. And you know, so many overuse injuries and burnout is such a factor that I don't know. I think there's some good things that we're going to learn in the process here of being shut down.
When schools shut down, school sports shut down. So we're likely going to see an entire class of high school seniors who won't get that last year. Sort of like we're seeing across college sports, you know, that those college players not getting their last year.
Yeah.
And now there's kids who are on middle school and junior high school teams who don't have seasons now. Kids who are looking forward to that 12-year-old season in Little League, right? Or that big tournament that they were finally going to make the trip to. Or even just, you know, looking forward to getting out on the field or on the court or on the ice again with kids from other schools that they don't see all the time. That's gone for now anyway. Mm-hmm. So what's that going to mean to those kids emotionally, developmentally? You touched on this some on the website. And how can parents and maybe even their coaches help them get through that?
I mean, coaches can help by not just sending, you know, training routines, but pick up the phone and call the kid, you know, and say, hey, how you doing? What's going on? This is a tough time, isn't it? I just want to let you know I'm thinking about you, you know, and maybe here's some things to think about in keeping yourself, you know, sharp for soccer, you know, in the coming months. You know, treat the kid like not just an athlete, but like a human being, like the needs of the whole child, the social and emotional needs. Those are extremely important. And that's also an opportunity to, you know, really engage your, you know, in this for-profit environment here, this club sport environment, you know, engage your customers, you know, provide some value, I guess. You know, parents will see that, they'll appreciate that. And again, maybe coaches learn some things about the kids they're working with that are going to enhance the relationship once things get back to normal. So, I mean, that's what parents can, I mean, coaches can do. Parents can just, you know, they can be aware of some of the online, you know, virtual training, fun stuff. Some of the cool stuff on social media, like, you know, Trey Young with the Stay at Home Challenge, playing baskets in the hall, you know, shooting baskets in the hallway and treating like a 3-point contest. I mean, make up some stuff at home, have some fun. You know, I think that's the key is just keep it fun. Keep connected.
We got to teach them that stuff. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, I was telling my son the other day, you know, go out on your pitch back and when, instead of just throwing, say, okay, well, this is the Mets against the Astros. And so-and-so is up. And so here's a ground ball and play it through and use your imagination or go out in the, when you guys are playing horse, you know, maybe attach something to it. Find those games and find them, make them more interesting. I mean, again, that's just not what they've grown up with.
No.
And if we did, maybe we need to pass it along to them a little better.
Well, you know, Kobe Bryant was a big ambassador of Project Play. He was terrific. He helped us launch the Don't Retire Kid campaign last year, came to the Project Play Summit a couple of years before that. He, you know, he told me one of the things that stuck was he coached, obviously, his daughter. And one thing he would do in practices was he would set aside all the balls and he would just ask the kids on that team to just use their imagination and pretend you are busting a move without a ball. You're busting a move on somebody. And what does that move look like? And so for a period of time, they were just alone in their space, busting moves, you know, trying to spark that. So that's the kind of thing you could do at home too. I mean, You don't want to make it too regimented or whatever, but like try and encourage kids. Hey, let's, you know, treat the doorway as like it's a basket and it's the NBA finals and, you know, and you got so-and-so in front of you. How are you going to make that, you know, just spark that imagination that can lead to creativity and, ultimately, I guess, performance.
It's likely the pro leagues will try to come back without spectators. I think most people think that's how that piece of this will begin. Mm-hmm. Have you given any thought to the road back for youth sports? You know, you can test players and support staff and have an arena, you know, cleaned up and play an NBA game with no fans. But if you put kids on the field, you're putting parents in the stands and all of a sudden, you know, we're gathering in mass at some level. And depending on how many games are going on at once, we might be gathering in quite a large mass. And I suspect that we're going to be tournament operators who are itching to get back. Does that worry you?
Yeah, it does. You know, and I think we're just going to have to pay attention to the guidance of the CDC and the governors and the public health officials to understand what is appropriate. But if they issue orders that, you know, it's no more than 10 people on site, well, it needs to be no more than 10 people on site. If it's, you know, no more than 50, well, you know, you got to abide by that. It includes parents. I mean, you get to 50 very quickly in a lot of, you know, 11v11 type games. You know, this is, we just need to respect this stuff and respect this period and find ways to be creative and active and otherwise. I think it's going to be a really challenging period for, we're already seeing it, Bill. We're seeing, you know, youth sport organizations, especially those in the travel team space, kind of freaking out. You know, they have no idea what to do with this. They don't have cash reserves. They're already laying off, you know, coaches and, you know, from the folks I've been talking with, I mean, signups have basically just completely dried up.
Right.
Business is like 95% down. People are not signing up for spring sports. They're not signing up for the early summer stuff, the camps and the travel team tournaments. Everyone is in a holding pattern. So as we get back into this, when we get back into this, I think it's going to be, there'll be a little bit of a build. I think it's going to be, okay, what do we bring back when and who's supporting it? Who's coaching? Who's playing? I mean, and we're just going to need to, as we do that, we're just going to need to listen to the public health officials and respect what is best and appreciate some of the things that we've learned in the process. If kids have more access to free play opportunities, that's not a terrible thing. That's actually a wonderful thing. It's, you know, low cost. It meets many of the, you know, the social and emotional needs of children playing with their friends. You know, it's all the stuff again that you and I got way back when, but a lot of kids are denied today. So, you know, don't think it's like as sports is gone, but sports in a different form have replaced it for the time being.
You segued us over into the business side there for me, because I was going to ask you about the implications for those organizations, those leagues, all those people who actually make a living in this space and what you're hearing from them. Certainly a drop in registrations. Are there any solutions for them in the short term?
I mean, you know, they are hearing from, you know, customers, people saying, I'd like a refund. And they're like, oh, what do we do with that? And they're trying to say to them, well, can you take it as a credit? Or can you, you know, push it off? It's going to take 30 days to process. I think a lot of other families are also understanding of not trying to, you know, take money out of, they realize other people have livings here.
That's right.
And we're all kind of in this thing together. So we can't act like we're the only party that matters right now. You know, that's also a nice thing that's come of this coronavirus, you know, challenge, is that we all understand how we're connected with each other better than we did in the past. What I do impacts you, and what you do impacts me. We have a better sense of the holistic, and just how it all kind of fits together. So I think there's a good bit of empathy, but I think, you know, for the organizations that are, you know, prying $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 out of families, you know, every year, for private training, club sports and otherwise, they're absolutely concerned, and some of them are not going to survive. And we'll see what's left, you know, once we come back.
Will we use this time to change? You know, it's interesting. We spent a lot of this week, our whole staff, talking to companies about what they're doing and what they're not doing. And I had a conversation with a CEO, actually, Jason Robbins, the CEO of DraftKings. And he said, you know, one of the things they want to try to do with this is, since their existing business is sort of frozen, they're hoping to find creative ways and changes to be better when they do come back. They really feel like it's imperative that when people come back to them, they see something incredibly cool. Do you have any hope that youth sports might find something incredibly cool that we can come back to? Can change come from this? Do you think change will come from this?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's guaranteed that it will. I think it'll depend entirely on how intentional we are about taking some of the lessons and reflections that we've experienced during this time and building it into the model that emerges. I mean, look, Project Play was launched in 2013. We developed a framework, 8 strategies for the 8 sectors that touch the lives of kids, launched in 2015 with the Surgeon General. And we've been talking to this whole space about these 8 different strategies and plays.
Really,
some of them are tougher to talk about than others, and, you know, including free play. Also asking kids what they want out of an experience, because youth sports are largely designed by adults for adults. We think we're doing it for the kids, and we sort of are, but it's a lot about us.
No, I hope we are, but you know,
exactly.
It's probably 50-50.
But this is that moment, Bill, where we can all kind of step back, and we're going to do this within Project Play. I mean, we got that page, but we're going to be creating, you know, webinars and regular content that's capturing what is happening in the youth sports space. But we're going to use this time to try to give parents, coaches, and leaders the tools to, as we've been talking about all along, reimagine youth sports in a form that best serves the interests of children and communities. This is the time to get trained as a coach. This is the time for parents to run through checklists like the one we created, you know, 10 questions to ask yourself, your child, and your local sport provider entering sport experiences. This is the time for leaders to think about policies that make sport or not sport accessible or not accessible to kids. You know, like, do we really need to create travel teams at age 6, 7, and 8 that cost a lot of money and structurally push aside all many families and kids who simply cannot afford that? I mean, can we continue to be that reckless now that we know what it feels like to not have access to an organized sports experience? So I'm hoping that there will be the leadership to build a better model coming out of this thing. And it entirely can be done. People just have to have the courage, and they have to have the commitment, and they've got to evaluate their self-interest a little more broadly than what is best for my kids, and instead think about all the kids in their community, the kids who are lower income, kids who are with disability, across gender, across, you know, psychological orientation. You know, some kids are really more competitive than other kids. But how do we build community-based models that are going to meet the interests of kids and communities? And it absolutely can be done. And Bill, we're going to drive on it. We're going to do our very best to, you know, give people the tools during this period. And then as we move into the Project Play Summit on April, you know, 14th in D.C., we're going to say, okay, folks, we've been gathering you virtually for a while now. You're in person. How do we take next steps here? Let's put this damn thing in place.
Tom Ferry, Executive Director of the Aspen Institute Sport and Society Program, and I have all the confidence in the world that you guys are going to do all you can to move this forward. And with that, I think this weekend we all need to make sure to get out and play with our kids however we can, wherever we can. You know, I think that's where we are.
Absolutely.
Tom, thanks so much.
Thanks, Bill.
SBJ Unpacks is now its own podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify for real-time discussions about the biggest topics in sports business. You can find links in our show notes below.